Welcome to Business Wednesdays, geared towards helping you refine your business acumen, etiquette, and leadership skills. Whether you're climbing the corporate ladder, taking the entrepreneurial leap, or simply aiming to be a stellar professional, Business Wednesdays is your roadmap to success. Please welcome your hosts of the show, Daniel Craig Johnson and Kane William Pretorius.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back on the Success Blueprint. It is Wednesday. I hope you had a good weekend and a good start to the week. Half of it is already over. But as I promised, Wednesday is the start of a new format on the Success Blueprint, which is called Business Wednesdays. And this is all about business. If you are into leadership, into career development, into etiquette, into how to be better as a team player with emotional intelligence, communication, it doesn't matter. Business Wednesdays has something for all of you. This is where we talk business, and I'm glad to have a good friend of mine and also someone that works for the School of Etiquette since 10 years. His name is Kane William Pretorius, and together we will host this Wednesday show. We will be online once a week from 6 o'clock in the morning Wednesdays. And if you have any suggestions, you have any feedback for us, you want to become part of the tribe, you want to add episode recommendations, then you are most welcome to do so. But let's not waste more time and get right into it. Kane William Pretorius from the School of Etiquette. How are you doing, my friend?
Thank you, Daniel. It's a pleasure to finally be on your show. I've been listening for many weeks now, so it's actually nice to be a part of it. Thank you for the invitation.
So yeah, Kane, School of Etiquette, business training, etiquette training. Tell me a bit more about it, about the School of Etiquette, how you got to do that and what it means. Yeah, give us some insight.
Okay, so it's quite a long story as to how I got into it, but just so that everybody knows, because especially with the topic that we're discussing today, you know, how does it all relate when we're talking about Gen Z, millennials, and autonomy, especially in the workplace? How does it relate to the School of Etiquette? Well, you know, at the School of Etiquette, whenever people think of us, Daniel, they tend to think that when they hear the word etiquette, they think I'm going to teach them about knives and forks and standing up straight with a book on their head. And to be fair, absolutely, we can do that if that's what you're looking for, but it's about 5% of what we actually do. What we actually do at the School of Etiquette is we teach people how to feel comfortable in any social or professional environment by teaching them how to behave, how to build relationships with the people around them.
Okay, thank you very much. That's insightful. Give me a bit of background about you. What is your professional background? How did you get into the School of Etiquette? What motivated you to train people in that area?
How I got into this, like I said, it's a long story, but essentially this is how it started, because I studied economics. You know, that was my profession before. Well, that's what I studied before I actually got into this. And while I was doing it, I didn't feel exactly passionate about it. I couldn't see myself doing it for the rest of my life. You know, I remember sitting the one day in front of my computer, Daniel, and I was sitting there thinking, if I'm not going to do economics, what am I going to do? And as soon as I asked myself that question, another question came to mind. What am I actually good at? And the answer that followed that was quite alarming, because nothing in particular came up. I was particularly, average on all fronts that I could see, academically, athletically. So I had to look at this and I had to think about this question. And I remember thinking about it the whole day. And it's actually quite a pertinent question to ask, because I remember that day quite clearly, because that's the day when I asked myself that question, that I like to think that I became self-aware and like kind of autonomous on my own, where I started thinking for myself, because I had to sit and think, what am I good at? And at the end of the day, the only answer I came up with was the only thing I'd been consistently complimented on my entire life, which was my manners. And I thought, you know what, that's not a bad plan. I could teach etiquette. And then I did some research and I came across business etiquette, and I thought, you know what, that's a better plan. I could teach business etiquette in a country that sometimes lacks a degree of formality in business. And that's what I decided to do. So I found an institute in the United States that could accredit me as a business etiquette trainer. And obviously I needed to pay for it, but I didn't have any money. So I had to start working. And I'd had a few jobs up until this point, Daniel, but it was all kind of small, not so corporate jobs. But the first job that I actually got that was a real corporate environment, I started working for one of the largest listed media companies. And I started at the bottom and had to work my way into a better position and a better position before I could actually pay for my studies. And then once I had done that, it provided an excellent platform for me to actually implement this training I was learning in a very formal and corporate work environment that was rife with its challenges. And at the same time, and forgive me, Daniel, if I'm carrying on, I told you it's a hefty story, but we're almost there. And once I was doing this and once I was implementing it in this environment, I remember reading a book at the same time. And the book gave me an idea. You know, it said, once you find something that you're good at, something that you're passionate in life, find someone who's the absolute best at it and make sure that they mentor you. And I took that seriously. So I was grateful, Daniel, because at that stage, I didn't realize what I was actually stumbling upon when I read those words, you know. And it's absolutely finding a mentor who's an expert in the field that you'd like to be one day and something that you're actually passionate about, to actually find a mentor in that space is a life hack to accelerating your progress in life. So I took it seriously and I went online and I started researching every etiquette and protocol officer I could find in the world to see what made them special, what were their qualifications. And I looked at all of them, and the more research I did, I came across one person in particular, and her name was Courtney Carey. It's Courtney Clue now, since she got married. But she was the highest qualified etiquette and protocol officer in Africa and the Middle East. And I must be honest, since all the research I did, I mean, she stood out by a country mile. I mean, all the qualifications she had came from the world's best institutes. Throughout the world, she had gone to them all the places you can research. She had studied at every single one of them, and she came back to South Africa. She started a company called the School of Etiquette. And for me, that was like a sign from above, because I was looking at, you know, starting a relationship with somebody overseas. But I couldn't believe it. She stayed 20 minutes away from where I stayed here in Johannesburg. It was unbelievable. For me, that was, in my mind, a sign from above. And I decided to approach her. And I approached her because I wanted to shadow her and learn from her as much as I possibly could, because she was teaching her own content based on what she had learned. And I wanted to learn from the best. So I did approach her and I sent her a proposal, and I waited until she received my proposal, outlining my desires to join her. And when she picked up, and then I decided a couple of days later to pick up the phone and introduce myself and chat to her about it. And she picked up the phone and she said, hello, it's Courtney speaking. And I said, hi, it's Kane speaking. I just wanted to introduce myself and see if you got my proposal. And she said, oh, it's you. Yes, I did. But I'm actually on my way out for my travel, so I'll have a look at it when I get back. I said, no problem. But I did make a note of when she was coming back. And the moment she got back, I picked up the phone again. And I phoned and I said, hi, it's me again. And she said, yes. And I said, have you had an opportunity to look at my proposal just yet? And she said, yes, I did. But I'm actually not looking to have someone join the company just yet. So in that moment, Daniel, I remember thinking, I didn't even realize I wanted to join the company. I just wanted to shadow her and learn from her. But as she said that, I remember thinking, that's exactly what I want. But she wasn't looking to have someone join her company. So I said, that's no problem. And I left it at that. What I then did is I proceeded to, for lack of a better word, and I say this laughingly, I proceeded to harass her for 4 months, phoning her day in and out every couple of weeks just to be like, hi, is it the right time now? And anyone in sales knows that a no today is not necessarily a no tomorrow. So I picked up the phone a couple of weeks later. And she'd be like, no, it's not the right time. We spoke a couple of weeks ago. I was like, well, just checking in. And I remember doing this. And after four months of doing it, I phoned her on a Monday and she picked up the phone and she said, geez, it's you again. And I said, yes. And she's like, tell you what, why don't you come in on Friday? Let's have a chat. So on Friday, I went in the morning, and by Friday afternoon, I was working with her. And that is how I came to start working for a company called the School of Etiquette and recently became a shareholder in this business. And that was 10 years ago. So for the last 10 years, my partner and I have been building this business to work with thousands of people throughout the world, numerous corporates within South Africa and throughout the African and throughout the African continent. We've had people flying in overseas to come and do our trainings. We are rated as one of the highest service providers with most of the companies that we actually work with. So yeah, that's a little bit of insight into how I got here and what I do.
Okay, thank you very much. That was insightful. And it proves, obviously, perseverance, first of all. You have to keep going. If you really want something, it's always the question about how hard do you want it? But it also proves something from sales, that it's all about numbers. And it's about the amount of calls that you make, and that will eventually fill your pipeline, you know, drive people into the funnel, as they call it. It's really just a numbers game. I would say, as my philosophy, the next biggest decision of your life or the next biggest success in your life is just one phone call or one introduction away. And that's what you've proven in this example very effectively.
Yeah, resilience does pay off in the end.
Absolutely. It's all about resilience. There was one thing that you said that really caught my interest, and you said you would like to teach etiquette in a country that lacks a degree of knowledge how to conduct themselves in business. What was that about, and explain that a bit further?
So etiquette in South Africa has never been as widely accepted or regarded as it is in the rest of the world. It's not as common. So, for example, as our European or Western counterparts, where etiquette is sort of trained from a very young age, it's not a guarantee within the various cultures within South Africa. So it's not something that we all grew up with. So a lot of the mannerisms that we have, we adopt from our conditioning of how we were raised and our parents. And then we go into the workplace and whatever we see from the leaders who are in position there, how they facilitate their business, how they carry themselves, how they communicate with people, how they interact, how they behave becomes the standard of how we behave. And it becomes the norm in our minds. So a lot of the time that's incorrect because it hasn't been something that has been taught in South Africa, widely spread, all right? And there's very few people in my experience over the last 10 years of training a lot of South Africans that actually know what the definition of etiquette is, you know, where people actually look at what etiquette is, okay, and they don't. So when they see us for the first time and they're learning this for the first time, it becomes such a life-changing moment for them where they start realizing that the way they conducted themselves before, the way they did business before, the way they built relationships before, they were making mistakes. And it suddenly starts to become clear why they get good results in one area and bad results in another area. So yeah, that's the reason why. So when we kind of started this company, our vision for it is, when my colleague and I came together, is we wanted to kind of redefine what etiquette is in everyone's minds. It's not about enforcing rules and, you know, previously accepted norms from the 18th century in a modern day context. We wanted to revitalize and modernize the word etiquette and bring into context only the things that are relevant in this day and age that we're living in. And that's what we focus on in etiquette. And the things that are always relevant is how human beings connect with one another.
That's very true. And you can see that in coaching, in teams, when you coach groups, you will always see that you have those different people that are, for instance, you got the halo effect where someone is really, really great at one area. And that means that the people around them perceive them at being good at everything. But when you actually look at them in detail, you recognize that this one area is really just something that they're good at, but they lack communication skills, emotional intelligence, or you have the one trick pony, or you have the high performer that leaves carnage behind wherever they go, which also then doesn't work because they don't fit into a group setting, or they maybe not team players, but yet they are perceived as high performers because they get the results, which is obviously untrue. And I think that's where etiquette and all the things that you guys really teach comes in, because it makes you a more well-rounded person in business. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct. And I've actually got to, you know, an interesting stat that supports what you just said. So, Daniel, have you ever heard of the Harvard 75-year study?
Yes.
The longest study ever conducted by mankind. And, you know, there's an interesting stat. I mean, there's a, I'll give the viewers or the listeners some context into it. So there were some approximately 263 participants that Harvard did. I think it was Harvard, Stanford, and the Dale Carnegie Foundation that did this study over 75 years. And what they did is they took 263 participants from all walks of life, all right? And every single year they had these people come in and they asked them a series of questions related to their health, their wealth, relationships, whatever was going on in their life, and they just accumulated data over a 75-year period. And as you can imagine, over a time frame like that, they gathered a host of data. But there's one data point that I draw special attention to, and that is they found that 85% of a person's financial success in life was attributed to a person's ability to build relationships with people, to communicate effectively, to collaborate in teams, all right? In other words, to build likability with the people that they met. So it comes down to their people skills, all right? Soft skills, if you would, which is what we specialize in. 15% of a person's, the remaining 15% of a person's financial success in life was attributed to their technical skill. In other words, all that time we spend in university, well, educating ourselves, trying to increase our earnability, it only accounted for 15% of a person's financial success in life. The rest comes down to your people skills, how you build relationship with people. And that just emphasizes that people do business with people they like.
Yeah, it's very true. And it's interesting to see that shift that we had over the last 10, 15 years where we really transitioned into a better understanding of the importance of soft skills over the hard skills. Hard skills, your university skills, what you learn, what you study, your technical knowledge, as you described. But that really, in a competitive world and in the world that we live at the moment, it is obviously important to have a formal education and a basic level of education in terms of business, like your financial acumen, your business acumen. But soft skills in this interconnected world and this cultural diversity become a very, very important point more and more for businesses. And businesses have really started to focus more on those things. You hire for attitude because the skills can still be learned or improved and taught in a better way.
100%. That's the model that a lot of American companies are going through. They're looking at, because they realize when you hire somebody, all right, you're usually looking at a host of candidates that come through that are similarly educated, similarly skilled. So they always look at the ones who actually want to be there. So they are hiring for attitude, not aptitude, which is 100% correct. Mm. Because at the end of the day, there's very few, most companies these days, when they actually hire someone, they're still going to give you on-the-job training on how to do the processes they need. So does the education really matter, especially if it's not necessarily like a very technical or hard skill, all right? Like law, anything else, different story, all right? But in most instances, we can teach you to do the job. And if you want to be here, we will upskill you and you'll get a much better employee, not somebody who's counting or clock watching the clock tick over every day, just here to receive my paycheck and get out of here. That's all I want. Those are not the kind of people that people are, that companies and organizations are looking for these days. They're looking for people who buy into the ethos of the company, into the value system, that want to be a part of the company, that start to feel like the company is theirs. And that is the most important part.
Thank you for that insight. So let's get into our episode. We spoke about empowering those around you. And I got some questions that I really want to ask you about and want to pick your brain to hear your take on it. And the first one that I have is defining autonomy. If we talk autonomy in the workplace, what does that mean for you? And this is where I'm putting you into suspense. Today was all about getting to know each other and introducing the new co-host, Kane William Pretorius. We've asked an interesting question, and the answer to that question will be on our next episode. And we have many more interesting questions on the topic of autonomy in the workplace. So tune in next week, Wednesday, and join us on this journey. It will be interesting, and I can't wait to have you back on the show. That's Daniel, your host on the Success Blueprint, and take care.